I'm going to talk to you about the light of God. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, we read these words, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Let me read those words again. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Friends, you know, we need to remind ourselves of what the scripture teaches. Because sometimes it's easy for us to be anxious and to be afraid of something. And we need to remind ourselves of God's promises. He is the keeper and protector of his word. I had a very strange experience as I woke one of the mornings this week. I woke with a very profound sense of God speaking to me as dwelling in light. I lay there in bed, which isn't normally a problem anyway, just completely consumed with this sense of God dwelling in this most glorious, unapproachable without Christ, but this glorious light. And of course, the Bible says, in him is light and life. There's no darkness in him. And obviously, as you know, we've just come back from a summer holiday, and some of those days were full of, you know, bright sunshine. And you know the difference sunshine makes, even in the place you live, even in Blackpool. When Blackpool's raining, you can see it on our face, can't you? Oh, the seaside when it's raining. Oh, what a place. But I tell you, when the sun's shining, the birds are singing, you've got a breeze off the sea. Maybe it's just me, but sometimes I feel like I'm on holiday. Yeah. Blackpool's a place like that. You know, there are just little things that we taste that should remind us that God is light, and in him there's no darkness. When you see God's creation lit up, when you go to the islands like Barbados or even the Philippines or other countries, and you see this summer weather, and all of a sudden you're kind of wooed, you're captivated by the scenery and the sea and the birds, because God's light reveals his creation. In 1 Timothy 6:16 it says, "God alone possesses immortality, and he dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." And in James 1:17, it's a fabulous verse. It says, "He is the Father of lights, the Father of lights who dispels the darkness." The Father of lights who dispels the darkness. Psalm 104 verse 2 tells us that God covers himself with light as if a cloak, stretching out heaven like a tent. Daniel 2:22 says, "It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him." After having this experience, waking up in the morning, I just lay there for absolutely ages, just meditating on this whole concept of God being light. And then I did a study in the Bible, all the times and all the places that the word light appears, and I thought, oh my goodness, there are hundreds and hundreds of places, verses that talk about light. I thought, Simon, you're going to have to narrow it down a bit. Your sermons are quite long anyway, but not hundreds of verses. But you know, as well as light, there's darkness. But the Bible makes it clear that the light always overcomes the darkness. Always. I've never seen a light switch yet where you switch it and it goes dark. You switch the light on and light comes. And God is the absolute sovereign Father of lights who rules over the darkness and over all the powers of evil. Then I thought about God's holiness. I remember, I think I told you many years ago, I had a dream where I was in this is obviously in my early years before I was a Christian, I was in a nightclub and I was standing underneath the UV lights, I think I've told you, and underneath perfect light, all the flecks and all the dirt and the dandruff and all the specks on my clean shirt appeared under this perfect light. And it just taught me something about God's holiness, that you know what, God is pure and holy and perfect in all of his ways. And what a foolish person we would be if we think we can come into his presence soiled and dirty and not clean in Jesus. If it were not for the blood of Jesus, we would be soiled and dirty and unclean in his presence. So we shouldn't be surprised when heaven is described as a place where there need no sun or moon, where the light just fills the place, because God is light. And there's nothing impure there, because it's full of people that have washed themselves through faith in Christ. Nothing impure can taint heaven. And then as I lay in bed, I remember the angels in his presence in Isaiah. They sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the earth is full of his glory." So this morning, I want you to capture a sense in which God's nature is so pure, so burning with love and holiness and righteousness. Is it any surprise that he also burns with anger against sin? Because it's not his nature. Then, obviously, I remembered that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. They will never walk in darkness." Jesus is the living word of God. And he comes to enlighten all the people of the earth. All the people of the earth. In fact, the Bible says he came so that those who believe in him will no longer be in darkness again. So let's go back to that verse I read earlier. If God is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Just like Keith said this morning when he prayed, "Lord, things may come, but make sure our feet are strong and stable and certain in the hope and confidence that you are with us through all things." If God's light shines upon you and I, we can walk in confidence, knowing that he is with us, even through our darkest moments. What does Psalm 23 say? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." That is the kind of confidence that we must have as Christians. That if God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. Don't be afraid, because the reward in your inheritance is great." What a privilege, friends. What a hope we have in Jesus. And not because we're perfect, but because he is. And because he delights in putting clean garments on people that need them. I came across a funny story as I was doing some research. Well, it's a true story about rats. Any of you like rats? Do you? You like pet rats? Oh, well, you better put your fingers in your ears now. There's a story, it's only a short one. There was a group of graduate students who once did quite a bizarre experiment. They took some lab rats and put them in a tank of water and placed the tank in a totally dark room. They went into an adjoining room and monitored them with the video equipment, and the rats swam for almost 6 hours before, put your fingers in your ears now, before giving up and drowning. The students then took another set of lab rats and put them in a tank of water and placed that tank in a room where there was a small lamp. And the rats swam for almost 17 hours, far longer than the rats did in total darkness. Something about the light embraced even rats to survive longer. There's an important lesson in that, isn't there? You know, even if the whole world were to go dark, it's the light of God that can keep us afloat. It's the light of his presence, the light of his words, the light of his spirit, the hope that we have that can keep us buoyant in a time that seems desperate. You'll remember Corrie ten Boom when she went through the concentration camp with her sister. And she said that when her problem was so deep, God was even deeper still. She found God and she kept hold of her hope. But in this world, darkness has the power to rob people. It robs people of joy. It robs them of humanity. It destroys their soul. And when a mind that isn't enlightened with the love and the truth of God, look what can happen to their character. Simple things, simple duties, simple cares get laid aside and forgotten and then not cared about because the light of God is not shining in their hearts. What God intended for good when he made the world becomes broken and marred and cracked when the light of the gospel and the light of Jesus isn't changing that heart. There's a lovely verse in Isaiah 60, verse 19, chapter 60, verse 19. It says, "The sun will no more be your lamp by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory." I like how the Bible begins with light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was. And the last words in Revelation, more or less the last words, chapter 22 and verse 5, "And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light for the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." In the New Jerusalem, there'll be no more need for night, and the city won't even need the sun, because the Lamb is the lamp. And when you're in the presence of God, there'll be such a joyous light that you'll dwell in. It's indescribable. Revelation 21, verse 23 to 24, "For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light." You know, the Bible has so much to say about the light of God. I remember a song that we used to sing in school, and you'll remember it. You remember it? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." And then it goes on, "Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. All up in my house, I'm gonna let it shine. Out there in the dark, I'm gonna let it shine." You know, it's sad really in some ways when we relegate songs just to children, because that song wasn't just for children. It was for adults who were going to say, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to be a miserable sinner. I'm not going to look like I'm chewing a wasp on Sundays. I'm going to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. I'm going to let my neighbours and my family see that, you know, I'm not perfect, but the hope of God and the light of life is within me." This light brings light to every man who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew 5:16 says that we should let our light shine before men, that they may see our works and give glory to God our Father in heaven. We do have to have a word with ourselves and challenge ourselves. Is the light of the gospel, of the glory of God, is it shining through us? Can people see it? What do my children see? What does my husband see? What do my parents see? What do my colleagues see? Can they see that the joy of the Lord is my strength? Even the Apostle Paul looked back to creation. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, he said, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' make his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Whoever has the light of life will not walk in darkness. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9, Paul says this, "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. We have to encourage ourselves and examine ourselves and say, do I live up to the courage of my confession? People know that I'm a Christian, but do I give them enough evidence that shows that I am? Is there fruit in my life that reveals the nature of Jesus? God wants us to walk in his light. So if we're not walking in his light, what does it mean we're walking in? We're walking in the dark. When we walk in darkness, what kind of things might that be? What kind of things would you think are darkness? There's the obvious things like lust, adultery, lying, stealing, murder. But actually, Jesus also spoke about other things that are far closer to home, like gossip and cowardice, indifference. Those things are darkness. Anger. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Some people have a real anger problem. And if you challenge them, they might say, well, that's just the way I am. But we might say, but that's not the way Jesus is. It doesn't mean you have to accept and remain in the dark. I've noticed that as affectionate as I am with my boys, sometimes if I lose my temper with them because they're not behaving, I can rebuke them in anger. And that's wrong. Because guess what? They imitate what they see. There was a time a few months ago where I was very cross with Reuben for something or other. I can't remember what it was. And I really told him off. And I felt justified, you know, well, he's a child and, you know, they need to understand certain things. But the next day, I saw Reuben repeat or do something that I did. And I went away and I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because what I want to model for Reuben is light and love. It is discipline. It is correction. But it's not anger. It's not anger. God wants us to let our light shine in the darkness. Ephesians 5, 8 to 11 has important words for us to think about. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10 is very interesting. It says, find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Let's just consider these words for a minute. The Bible says we were once in darkness. We couldn't see by God's light. We couldn't understand his ways. But now we do. We must live as children of the light. We must be teachable. We must have a gentle spirit. We must develop patience and perseverance. Why? Because we represent Jesus on this earth. But verse 10 really interested me. Find out what pleases the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Go find out what pleases him. What things do you think please the Lord? Okay, faith pleases him. Being kind, obedience. What other things? What things please the Lord? Yeah, having that assurance. But what about to one another? How can we live in such a way that brings pleasure to God? Faith? Faith, yeah. And love? Justice pleases the Lord. Tolerance? There's many, aren't there? The fruits of the Spirit. Listening to his word. Hospitality. spending time with him. Spending time with your family is a good one. I had a conversation with a New York cabbie when we came from the airport, and he was a Jewish guy called Eli, and I told him that I was a pastor as well, and he asked me a question. He said, what's the most valuable thing in someone's life? And I thought, wow, well, you could answer so many things. You could talk about the Lord. You could talk about the love of God. But as a cabbie, he gave the answer, which made a lot of sense to him. He said, the most valuable thing I have is time. Time. He said, because I've seen my daughter grow up and not have that kind of time that she should have had with me. He said, and now I have a very difficult relationship with her. It's amazing, you know, how you can get people to open up. I met a man on the boat coming back on the ship called Reuben, another Jewish man. He was a famous writer and an economist from New York. And it was fascinating when I told him that I was a pastor as well. He told me his life story. We spent 2 hours on a deck chair on the deck. 88 years old he was. And he invited me to lunch, so I introduced Solana and the boys. And such a lovely, humble man. But, you know, just sharing something about the light and the love of God, and just the friendship. And as he walked away, he said to his wife, what a lovely young man. What a lovely young man. And instead of me sort of thinking, well, yeah, of course. You know, I thought to myself, you know, he knows I'm a Christian. I hope he gets to see something of Jesus. Find out what pleases the Lord. And finally, one of those three finalists that I normally finish with. 1 John chapter 5. Sorry, 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 10. John, the disciple of Jesus, writes these words. This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. And we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. It's okay. Everybody's welcome in the house of the Lord. What a beautiful thing that John reminds us that he heard these words from the Lord himself. He's passing on to them what Jesus told him. That God is light, there's no darkness or evil in his nature. So if we claim to be a Christian and follow him, and yet by our lifestyle we're showing something completely other, we're not walking in forgiveness. And we're not walking in fellowship with one another. If we're walking in the light, we have harmony, there's unity, there's love, there's peace, there are friendships being born, there's patience with one another, there's preferring one another. And let's not forget, Jesus said that the world would know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. We have the privilege of having the light of God in our hearts. And we have the duty of loving one another deeply from the heart. And my second finally, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sin, he will forgive us. He will purify us as we walk in the light. So, third finally, no more finalies. Psalm 27, verse 1, what we started with. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We used to do lots of services when I was pastoring in Southport. We used to take services in nursing homes. And I met this lovely, lovely man who was in his 90s. Unfortunately, I can't remember his name, but I remember his face. He was always smiling. And he always sat in his suit, was already really dressed really smart for when we came into the home. And we took someone with a little organ and we sang songs and we gave a little word. But he was quite poorly. And I went on holiday and I came back in 2 or 3 weeks. And the man had died. And I was really upset and a bit shocked because I knew he was a bit poorly, but he always sat there. I always looked forward to seeing his big beaming smile. Lovely guy. But what he left for his wife absolutely moved me to tears. I didn't know that before he died, he'd arranged to have his photo taken of him sitting in his favourite armchair in the care home in his smartest suit with his great big beaming face. And above this photo were the words, alive with Christ, and the scripture. And he'd arranged for his wife to have it after he'd passed away. And it totally blew me away, this gorgeous photo of this old man, just reminding his wife. He knew she'd be sad, but he was reminding her, I'm going to a place where I'll meet you one day. Don't be sad. And that's why the Bible says we do not grieve as the world grieves without hope. For our hope is in Jesus Christ. When he said in John 14, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you that you might be with me where I am and you might behold, share my glory. That's the hope of a Christian, because of Christ. Amen?